was never going to give up the pleasure of being last in the running order. Not least because it allows me to disagree with some of my some of the previous speakers, and also to agree with them. I'm sorry to enter a note of boring bipartisanship here, but I agree with Maydig. It is perfectly true that democracies and democratic governments can be, and in most cases are at some point, dishonest, and yes, they can be corrupt. This is true. Democracy is a deeply flawed system. It isn't at all perfect. It's not perfect any more than the world is perfect. It is, as Churchill said, the worst system going, apart from all of the others. And I think we have to be aware, very aware, in this discussion of the difference between open society, democracies, in which evils can come to the fore and do, and those systems in which they never do and cannot. Are there flaws in our governments? Of course. Flaws in our systems? Of course. But, by and large, a democracy like Britain, a democracy like America, has a lot of checks and balances along the way. Different departments, different officials, different parties having power, elections every few years, elections which have just thrown out the government that Maydig was critical of over Iraq, and I suspect will soon throw out the current government here, making your biography a biography, possibly, terrifyingly, of the Prime Minister. All of these things are true, but who knows what we should know? Who decides? Well, leakers and people like Mr. Assange, and let's just be clear tonight, after all, we have Mr. Assange on the panel, so it is likely we're going to be talking about WikiLeaks and leaning in that direction in this debate. Decide they know what you should know. They can tell you. But do they know, ladies and gentlemen, what they're doing? It's very, very easy indeed. I'm a journalist, so I spend a lot of my time doing it, and it is very easy to criticize government when it goes wrong. It's also enjoyable. But government, to some extent, not perfectly, tend to know what they're doing. Do the leakers, do WikiLeaks know what they're doing? My own personal feeling is this, that when you unleash thousands and thousands of documents that were never meant for the public eye, were never meant for your opponent's eyes, were never meant for foreign intelligence agency's eyes, you introduce an element of chaos. It's like war. It's very hard to contain once you start it. You may think you know what you're doing. You may think that you're going to lead to great criticism of the American government. But what about the collateral damage in your campaign? Are you sure you know what you're doing when you release secret documents, relaying secret conversations between, say, the fragile government of the Yemen or Jordan, or a conversation with the King of Saudi Arabia saying that he hopes the Israelis do bomb Iran? Are you sure you know what you're doing when you introduce an element of chaos like that into a region which I can assure you doesn't need more conspiracy theories? Ms. Machen, I'm so sorry, I'll get it right at some point, talked about with great pride of her release of the information that MI6 were looking at trying to assassinate Colonel Gaddafi. Are you sure that it was a good idea that you let Colonel Gaddafi know that?
No, you'll
get that. I'm going to ask you quite a lot of questions, so you'll get a chance. No, you'll get a chance to answer my questions in a minute, Ms. Assange, when I finish speaking.
Continue on.
Ms. Machen said that she was proud of the Gaddafi thing. Are we sure that it was a good idea to let Colonel Gaddafi know 10 years ago that MI6 had been looking at doing that to him? You can sit down, you're going to have time, I can tell you. Is Mr. Assange sure?
Are you interjecting?
No, yes, of course I'm interjecting because I'm trying to get through my speech.
There will be time.
Is Mr. Assange sure that he has read through all of these documents and knows better than foreign intelligence agencies what they are likely to draw from them? Maybe he does. Maybe he is indeed the godlike figure such a person would have to be. What about aimed leaks? This new era of journalism, it strikes me it's very like the old one. People get to pursue their interests. If they hate America, they can release a whole load of stuff that they want to make America look bad in the world. If, like Al Jazeera, you're implacably hostile to the State of Israel, you can release information which you think, no, you'll get your time. You'll get an opportunity to sit in the state of Qatar. Not exactly an open, democratic government. And release as many papers as you can that you think will show the state of Israel in a bad light. Very much like the old journalism. Very much like it. Are you sure, ladies and gentlemen, that these new advocates of all this freedom and openness are really as brave as they present themselves? Clayton had a lovely line earlier, by the way. I'll do it for you. He said that after releasing the Palestine papers, I can always not keep a straight face, we took a lot of heat for doing it. I'm amazed you're here, Clayton. Lady said, what happens to whistleblowers? Well, it appears, if Mr. Assange is anything to go by, it's a lovely life. You can make a lot of money, you can get a lot of admirers, you can present yourself as a great advocate of something you don't understand entirely, and you can pack out a hall in 4 hours. Now, finally, no.
Doug, finally, you have to take one.
No.
Surely have to take one.
No. They're going to get a vote. Look, there are states in the world today which really are hostile, which really do kill journalists. I can't help noticing that WikiLeaks and these other organisations don't go for them. Why has the Russian government's secrets not come out? Is it because the FSB... Is it because the FSB actually kills journalists? Actually does it? Doesn't even perform?
Please, no shouting from the floor. Point of information, Douglas has accepted it. Julian Assange.
I have had colleagues in Kenya involved with us in exposing some 500 extrajudicial assassinations in that country in the last 3 years, who themselves have been assassinated. So I would ask you to please do your research before making comments like that.
Well, Mr. Assange, you don't seem to be that bothered. The respected Guardian journalist Nick Davies relayed the conversation with you about Afghans when he said that you had said they are informants. If they get killed, they've got it coming to them.
Point of order, we are in the process of suing the Guardian in relation to that comment. Perhaps
Nick
you would
Davies
like to
didn't
join
say that. You can sue Nick Davies and the Guardian.
It's not Nick Davies, it's David Lee.
One sec. We don't
if
want
I could get
to generate some slang
question.
And
Mr. Assange
could perhaps you would like to speak to Doug Field, who was also at the meeting and has their own view of those events, which are precisely counter to what you were saying.
Julie, should an advocate of the open society use the libel law to sue
lies have no social utility. The truth has a social utility. The abuse of libel laws is a terrible thing. That is why I was involved in constructing the world's strongest legislation in Iceland to protect us all from the abuse of libel laws, and have campaigned constantly here in the UK. But actual lies by powerful organisations that abuse the size of their megaphone in an industry must have a recourse. And that recourse is in the courts and the court of public opinion.
Thank you very much. I do not have any more points of information. I would like Douglas to be able to finish. Please go ahead, Douglas.
I think I read from that that Mr. Assange thinks that libel law is good when he's using it. As I said, I very much look forward to WikiLeaks revealing the full extent of the Russian Secret Service's killing of journalists. It doesn't seem to me right that at a meeting organised by a journalists' club, we don't raise this fact. The fact is the CIA doesn't hunt down and kill its critics. The FSB does, and I'd love to see that reflected a little more in your work. Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the late Daniel Patrick Moynihan, said that by and large, and he noticed as a diplomat throughout his life, that complaints of human rights abuses happen in exactly inverse proportion to the human rights abuses in a country. that the more you were able to hear about them, the less likely it was that they were going on, precisely because in closed societies you don't hear these stories. I would love it if these new organisations did blow the whistle on these, but I just note that they don't. Finally, democracies, as I said at the very beginning, are imperfect things, but the best things going. They have to, among other things, including elected representatives, have to answer questions. They have to answer questions. Sometimes those questions are unpleasant, they have to be answered. And when they're not answered, you and I, the public, get to throw out the politicians that we no longer trust, and we do. So, those people who are very critical, like Mr. Assange, of the workings of these governments, should perhaps answer some questions themselves. And since we have the opportunity here tonight, and you'll allow me a little run at this, and then you can come back, Mr. Assange. I'd like you to answer a couple of questions. You are, after all, an organization dedicated to freedom of information. Who funds WikiLeaks? Are you willing to reveal all of your sources of funding? How can you demand transparency from governments when you, as an organization, have no transparency yourselves? Who works for you? Who are you involved with? Who are your employees? Where are you even based? None of these things get answered. Let's have some more questions. What's your connection with Israel Shamir, the Russian nationalist and Holocaust denier, who says he was an employee of yours? Furthermore, what gives you the right to decide what should be known to the public and what should not? Governments are elected. You, Mr. Assange, are not. Finally, who guards the guardians? Or in this case, who guards the guardians' guardians?
Very good.
It seems to me that WikiLeaks is, and will continue to be, a very unsatisfactory place to do this from. I'm finishing with this. Ian Hislop relayed a couple of months ago a private eye telephone conversation with you. He said that in the course of that telephone conversation, you said that there was a conspiracy led by Guardian journalists against you, which included David Lee, the editor Alan Rusbridger, and John Kampfner from Index on Censorship, all of whom you said are, quote, Jewish. And then when you realized that Mr. Rusbridger is not Jewish, you said, well, sort of Jewish. I would like to know whether... I'm coming back to the point, I can assure you. I would just like to know, all the rest of your attributes aside, Commissioner Assange, somebody who has gone so far into the fever swamps of conspiracy theory, whether you are really better placed than any government to decide what these ladies and gentlemen and I and all of us can know. Thank you.
Director for the Henry Jackson Society, newly appointed. We've run out of time, but Julian, after those final statements or allegations from Douglas, would you like to come back and say anything very briefly? Julian Assange, very briefly to conclude the debate.
Obviously, Mr. Murray has nothing to say about the motion here tonight. He has resorted, like so many of that type, to personal attacks on me and our organisation, which are, of course, unfounded, and which I hesitate to respond to directly because I perceive them to be a corruption of what we are all here for. But I cannot let some of them go without comment. The most interesting of your views is about who decides whether a media group or organisation should be supported or not. I think that is an interesting question. And the answer, in our case, is you decide. We are a publishing organisation, and we publish the works of whistleblowers. We publish it to the world, and the world is interested in what we do. All the fruits of our labour are visible to the public because that is the type of labour that we are engaged in. Unlike organisations which are supported by oil or by politically wresting money out of the tax base or by advertisers, we are directly supported on a week-to-week basis by you. You vote with your wallets every week if you believe that us facilitating whistleblowing is a worthwhile endeavour, or not, if you believe that it's not. If you believe we have erred, you do not support us, and if you believe we need to be protected in our work, you keep us strong. That dynamic feedback between us, whistleblowers, and the public, I say, is more responsive than a government structure that is elected after sourcing money from big business once every 4 years.
I will allow one final point of information and then we will close the debate.
Very quickly, have you never received any money from anyone other than the individuals of the general public? And two, you have just confirmed to us you think you're better than our governments. It's you that's meant to speak for us. Thank you. Then the lady there has done the job. Then your falling flat has done the job for you.
Thank you, Dr. Smurray. I asked earlier, beginning of the debate, your position. I remind you what this motion was again. This House believes whistleblowers make the world a better place. This House believes whistleblowers make the world a safer place. What is your position on that now? Roughly the same, maybe fewer. Who is against the motion? Anyone abstaining? This House believes whistleblowers make the world a safer place. Thank you.